Go ahead. Oh. Start it. Start it.
All right. So I guess today I'm going to take us in on the new episode of the Korean Cowboys podcast. Welcome back. We hope you guys enjoyed our new setup that we got going on. What do you think, Aaron? Did you like the first episode?
I did. I liked the first episode. I definitely like the setup more than like the other episodes, just me personally.
Okay. What else did you like about it?
I just liked how it was like, kind of like just free format where we were just talking about whatever the hell we wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we gave like our honest opinions on certain things. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
hopefully our viewers enjoyed this format as well. I think we're just going to keep this format for a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. So I put together most of like the talking, whatever we talked about and stuff. And it was a little bit dry in some parts, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You know, we all love a good feel good story. But I know you guys want the juice. You guys want it raw and uncut, you know, like...
Give us the meats.
Yeah. Raw and uncut. Uncircumcised sushi. You know what I mean? Like, real
stupid.
But anyway, yeah. So we're going to just kind of experiment with things. You know, our lovely guest, Greg, right? He told us to keep trying things until it actually works.
Yes, yeah, so I mean, like,
and that's what we're doing because you know we done switched it up a whole bunch of times.
We're only one episode into our comeback, so we'll be trying a lot of new things out. So hopefully, you guys look forward to that. But
yeah, and we're gonna bounce ideas off of each other. Like Aaron told me the other day, not to talk over him, so I'm not gonna do that. Listen, we all need to coexist. It's in a habitat, you know.
Well, speaking of the second episode of Korean Cowboys, how was your week?
I didn't really do too much. A lot of driving around. I'm getting used to driving around, you know. Driving
so cute.
So I bought a car, right? I think I told you guys this. I bought this car, and driving in Seoul is not like driving in
the States or something.
Bum blank nowhere, Alabama, where I got my original American license, right?
Alabama,
so,
wow.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't want to talk about my time when I was there, but but yeah, so driving around in Seoul can be really, really, really hard, you know. And I live in Gangnam, which is probably the most busy part of Seoul, and it takes a lot of getting used to. But you know what? I'm a driving master now. I put my skill somewhere at 9 out of 10.
Yeah, okay, 9 out of 10,
I'm almost to Aaron's 9.2 out of 10. Almost.
You're telling us a story about yesterday when you were driving your AC issue. Do you want to expound upon that?
All right, so, you know, it's getting a little warm, right? And listen, I am used to just rolling down the window for some cool air. I didn't realize that there's a little button next to the AC that has a snowflake on it that actually turns off the fan and turns on the AC. So I thought my car was broken. I was about to call the service center, but it was, you know, late already. So I was,
what,
like,
did you say you turn off the engine and turn it on like three times?
Two or three. I don't remember. Not that really matters. Anyway, the point is much like the Korean Cowboys and you know, learning what to do. You know, we have a learning curve, and I have a learning curve with my car. I still actually, like, if I got in an accident, say, God forbid, I wouldn't know who to call.
Call your insurance company,
I guess.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But yeah, I guess I'll take it as it comes. So
yeah,
I guess I'll learn someday.
All right, so what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, you know, nice segue.
Yes.
But what do you call it? So when I went back to the States this last time, there was a lot of like episodes. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things going on. And one of the pastimes now that I have with my dad, and I had it with you too, kind of, when we were living together, was like watching comedy shows.
Yeah.
Comedy specials, right?
Like stand-up?
Yeah, like stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So I got really into watching stand-up comedy with my dad. And the first person that I went to was, you know, the one and only, Dave Chappelle.
The GOAT.
He's the GOAT. He's, I think, personally, the funniest living comedian right now, I think.
Who do you think is the funniest comedian, like, dead or alive?
Okay. Top comedians, comedians top three list, each of us, let's go.
Yeah.
All right. So I think for me, definitely Dave Chappelle's up there.
Okay.
Joan Rivers.
Okay.
Definitely up there. One of my favorites. And probably another oldie, like Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy,
in his prime, untouchable. I've seen some skits of his from like the 90s that are so funny. If you guys don't know, there he does a skit about a hamburger, and how his mom used to say, "We got McDonald's at home," so she would go home and make him a hamburger. And it is so funny. You have to watch. It's really old, but yeah. What about your like top three?
My top three, of course, the GOAT, Dave Chappelle. I like Bill Burr. I
think Bill Burr's funny. Mm-hmm.
Someone older would be like Eddie Murphy or like Richard Pryor.
Okay, Richard Pryor.
Who else? I like a lot of comedians. I think Kevin Hart's stand up is funny.
You know,
more than his movies, I think his comedy's like his actual stand up.
See,
funnier.
That's the thing is like, okay, look, I think comedy has to be dirty. It has to be.
Right.
For me, you know, and Kevin Hart, like he is a funny guy. And I think in the Hollywood sphere, he's very good at what he does, movies, whatever, yeah, that sort of thing. His stand-up never really did anything for me. He doesn't really get dirty enough for me.
I mean, you gotta watch his old stand-up.
I mean, I suppose.
Of course, like, after he became, like, this world, like, superstar, you know, like, he has, like, an umbrella that he does have to, you know, like, take care of or whatever. He's talked about it where he's like, I can't say or do what I want to because I have an umbrella of people, family, friends, workers that I have to take care of. So, you know, he does, like, watch his time, I guess, in some parts of his career, but his old stand-up, I think, is hilarious.
Well, you know, that's one of the trade-offs, I think, when you make that leap from comedian to a movie star. Like, look at Eddie Murphy, too. Yeah. I'm not even sure he really does stand-up anymore.
I don't think so, no.
I mean, when you may have as much money as he does, true, and how much success you have in Hollywood, but you have to appeal to both bases, and it's just two bases that you cannot. Now, that's Dave Chappelle, though. He's not a movie star. You know what I mean? He's strictly a stand-up comedian, so he has a lot more leeway. But you know, I don't know if you know like what happened recently with all of his Netflix specials and all this drama that was going on. You know
what happened, though?
You know, so he makes jokes about everybody, every race, every lifestyle, everything.
Yes,
no filter.
Yep. So he's the GOAT.
Which
he doesn't hold his tongue.
That's right, and I love it. Listen, I have this thing where I'm like, if I watch comedians, I think everything should be on limits.
You know what it is? I think it's a lot of people are so sensitive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to take it for what it is. It's a joke. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's why, like, I remember this one thing that was really funny. So, Joan Rivers, God rest her soul, she was making these jokes about, I can't remember, if somebody, like, who, like, didn't have an arm or something like that. And she was doing stand-up comedy. And there was a comedian, or not a comedian, an audience member that heckled her for the joke.
Hecklers, yep.
And I thought it was really dumb, and everyone was booing the heckler. But then Joan Rivers called him out, and he was like, stand up, like, you know, I'm going to say something to you right now. And he was like, how can I be ableist when I literally for years dated a man with one leg? She really did. And she, you know, she was like, don't ever call me an ableist because, you know, you got to be able to find, like, you know, the silver lining in anything. You know what I mean? And I think her point is that there's a difference between joking at someone's expense.
Right.
Versus just umbrella.
Because I mean,
you know what I mean?
She's like living through that experience. Yeah. Right? Like she's married or dated, you said?
She was married, right, but her husband, you know, committed suicide.
Oh, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? She's someone that's like had that firsthand experience with someone who's actually like lost a limb. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, she, of course, like she knows like how to be sensitive and, you know, like be funny about it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just a lot of people these days are so sensitive. I saw something recently, a guy was like wearing like a poncho and like a sombrero, and he walked around a college campus.
And he was
asking people like, what do you think about my outfit? Mm-hmm. He asked like a black person, an Asian person, a white person. Everyone was like, I don't think that's right. I think you're like culturally like appropriating like, you know, like the Hispanic community. Like, what are you doing? And then it shows him going up to the Hispanic community, like 5-6 people. And they're like, no, we love it.
We think
like,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I've seen
it's
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you, like, I just think people just kind of want a reason to fight nowadays. It's so stupid, but like, I don't know where that comes from.
I think it's because there's a word for this. SJWs. You
know what that is? Social Justice Warriors.
Social Justice Warriors. Or Karens, as a lot of people call them.
Yep.
You know, so Karens and Kens. I guess that's what they call them.
Is that what a Ken is?
I feel bad with anybody with those names. But yeah, I don't know. I think people just nowadays, they want an excuse to get mad at anything. So, for example, Dave Chappelle makes all kinds of jokes. We both know really well because we love him, right?
Right.
People staged a walkout. Employees at Netflix staged a walkout because he was making jokes about the LGBT community, right? And they literally were so offended by it that they walked out of their job in protest of his special.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then they're like, oh, you should be able to joke about other things and blah, 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 blah. But Dave Chappelle never, ever, and most comedians, I don't know, there might be some KKK comedians that make really, really, you know, jokes that, you know what I mean? Like in a real way. But no, like, I think it really depends on where you're coming from. You know what I mean? And the thing is Dave Chappelle, he doesn't target only LGBT people. He doesn't target only whatever class of people.
He targets everyone.
He targets black people, white people, Hispanic people, gay people, straight people. He targets everybody. Yep. It's not, and it's none of it's done out of hate. So I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, it's about the narrative that you're presenting to the whole world. And I was like,
but there's no narrative because it's a joke.
Yeah, you gotta.
You guys are making it a narrative.
Yeah, the world is boring if you can't joke about anything. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of that is taking place in like Western countries, like America, maybe the UK. I'm not sure.
That's true.
And that honestly is like one of the reasons why I kind of don't want to go back to America as well, just because culturally it's so different now than when it was like what it was when we were growing up in America. It's just like, I feel like I would have to hold my tongue like so hard if I went back to America. Oh, yeah. I just wouldn't be able to say anything.
Forget about it.
Because I don't want to offend anyone, right? But yeah, I mean, I think comedy should be left for what it is. Exactly that, comedy.
Now, there's something that I want to like put out to you here.
Yeah.
So everything should be not restricted, right?
Yeah.
For comedy. Yeah. So the only time that I'll disagree with you is like, for example, I think comedians have like this innate gift to be able to read the room.
Of course.
They're very good at it.
Yeah.
You know, and you should be able to read where the temperature is on your comedy and what is appropriate at a certain time.
Right.
There are some instances where I would disagree with the fact that you should have joked about it. For example, Gilbert Gottfried, who was the voice of the parrot on Aladdin, like a week after 9/11, he started cracking 9/11 jokes, like on TV.
I mean,
that's a little, you know what I mean? He didn't read the room right.
Like the wound is still too fresh.
It's still too fresh. Like, you know, you could maybe joke about it later on, but like right now, 1 week or 2 weeks after 9/11 is a little much, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to be able to read the room.
Of course.
You know?
I mean, like, but like in that specific circumstance or that situation, it was just, I think, a little too early for that joke. You know what I mean?
You know, he used to be the voice for that duck. Aflac. That duck. The insurance Aflac duck.
I have no idea.
Well, he used to be the voice for it anyway.
I know the Geico.
Yeah, no, that's a different insurance company. They're not paying us to plug them. Hold up. Anyway, so he, was it 2010?
Right.
2010, 11, something, when they had the tsunami and the earthquakes in Japan.
Right.
He made like a joke about the tsunamis that happened in Japan, and he didn't realize that Aflac, like, the majority of their insurance users were Japanese. So he was if you were living in the States, like in the 2000s, everyone's going to know what the Aflac duck is, right?
Yeah, I think I'd know it if I saw it.
Yeah, and basically he got fired from it. He literally had to go in the studio and say like, Aflac, and then that was it, and he got paid fat for it.
Yeah.
So you got to learn to read the room, and I think a lot of comedians, or all comedians, know how to do that to some degree.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
I still think, like I was saying, like, our goat, Dave Chappelle. The Mount Rushmore, like, yeah, like, he does, like, he has, like, no limits on what he talks about. Mm-hmm. But also, he's not going to talk about 9/11, like, a week after, you know what I mean?
Like,
it's all circumstantial, I think.
I think, honestly, aside from Dave Chappelle, but Dave Chappelle is very on the cusp of 90s and 2000s. Comedians, because he's been around for a long time. He used to have the Chappelle Show
in middle school. Chappelle Show's the best skit show on planet Earth. I don't care what you say.
I see the clips pop up on Instagram sometime. And
it's so,
they're hilarious.
Funny, dude.
Now, I don't know, like, because that was on TV, right?
It was on Comedy Central.
Yeah, and it wasn't stand-up comedy. I mean, I don't know. I feel like people would get in such a tiff if that was released now, I think. But he's so funny. Anyway, I consider, like, 90s comedians, like, it was all unfiltered. I mean, we're both 90s kids. We know that it was different back then. Like, it was just completely different.
Even up until, like, the early 2000s. Like, maybe, I would say up until, like, 2012, I think it was, like, a little more open than it is now.
Oh, yeah. It's, I give it, we should do a whole conversation on social justice warriors and this whole thing with political
correctness. Now it's like 80% of what we were able to say when we were younger and like what we joked about, mm-hmm. we can never talk about that publicly anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're open to evolving, but then like, you know, everybody gets offended by everything. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I better just keep my mouth shut.
You know what I mean?
Say anything.
Say one thing. It'll ruin your whole life. But, yeah. You know who do you know who Lunell is?
Lunell?
She's from California, Oakland. But she's this black lady that's a comedian, big lady.
No, I have no idea.
She's hilarious.
You know who else I really like? Earthquake. Anyways.
Who's Earthquake? Oh, no, I know who that is. Yeah.
The Earthquake is so funny. Anyways.
Do you know who Monique is?
Yeah, Monique, yeah.
You know, like from Precious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I used to really like Monique too. She's really good in Soul Plane. If you guys haven't seen it, you should check it out.
And also, we mentioned it last week. We both like Bad Friends. I really like mm-hmm. Bobby Lee and Andrew Sampson as well.
Yeah. SNL and Mad TV. Those two programs, they were kind of like rival programs.
I think so, yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, obviously SNL kind of came up on top, but both of those programs produced some incredible comedians. Bobby Lee, Artie Lang, and all these people out of Mad TV.
On the topic of comedians, what do you think about a... I mean, it's been a while, so I think we could talk about it. What do you think about a Will Smith smacking Chris Rock?
I think that whole family's messed up, honestly. Like, they all got problems. Oh, you know, when I was making this, I kind of debated if I wanted to talk about something like that.
Yeah.
Smacking Chris Rock, I think Will Smith deserves to get kicked out of the Academy for that.
Well...
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think contrary to what I believe?
No. You should never put your hands on anyone.
He assaulted that man.
Especially on like a live broadcast. Yeah. That's crazy.
And Chris Rock's a comedian. And
they're friends.
I know. And so Jada Pinkett Smith. Oh, sorry. I'm going over you.
No. And Jada Pinkett Smith, go ahead.
And Jada Pinkett Smith, like, she's a celebrity. She should know that it was a joke. And like, okay, maybe it was a little distasteful, but... I mean, you know, you just kind of roll with it. And I don't know what Will Smith's thing.
The thing is, when Chris Rock told the joke, initially he laughed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You see him on camera laughing, and then like 10 seconds later, he walks up and smacks him, you know? Although at the end, Chris Rock got the better smack because, you know, he came out with his stand-up, and he tore Will Smith a new one. But
you know, I'm looking at that. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I'm thinking that relationship between Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith
is really
toxic. Like... Everything about that, how he totally got cuckolded by her sleeping with what's that guy's name, the singer?
August.
I forget his last name, but yeah, like.
But like she said that like on like TV or whatever. Yeah, in an interview like while it was just them two.
Yeah, it's like where's the backbone?
I was like, oh my god,
totally cucked, man.
Yeah, but I mean, that's their relationship. We'll let them handle it. But yeah,
I mean, it'd be like that.
Yeah. This is just on the topic of comedians. I love Chris Rock as well.
On the topic of comedians, and I want to talk about Monique. I was talking about Monique.
Yeah.
So you know in the 90s, she used to be like this really, really big lady, right?
Right.
She was a big woman.
Right.
Big, beautiful woman. But she was always preaching like, oh, like, you know, big girls love to eat and blah, 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 and all this stuff, right? And then she ended up getting diabetes and then ended up losing all the weight. And now she preaches like a life, you know, healthy lifestyle and all that stuff.
Right.
And you heard about Ozempic? You know what that is?
Ooh, nice little segue.
You like how I did that? Listen.
You have been practicing.
I have been. I have rehearsed this in the shower, let me tell you. Yeah, listen. No, it's all kind of put together. You know what I mean?
All right, Ozempic. All right. I actually, well, we were talking about this off camera, but I looked it up. I have heard about it. I'm just not very like well versed in the topic of Ozempic, but apparently it's like you said, like a diabetes med.
Yeah, it's a what do you call it? Revolutionary drug. You know, that is a lot of celebrities. I think it's kind of like an insulin shot. Like, you know, it's like you put it on however often. But yeah, it is like proven to make you lose weight, and there's been a lot of celebrities that do it.
Yeah, I was reading about it like 20 minutes ago, 25 minutes ago before we went on.
Yeah, and some big names like, you know, Chelsea Handler, Sharon Osbourne.
Even Elon Musk said he
Yeah, you seen his pasty self at the beach before, and then now he's all kind of fit. I mean, he's not, you know, that fit. But anyway, and I'm pretty sure the Kardashians are. I don't know if they said they are or not, but I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah. So like the reason we bring this up is because like people are taking Ozempic, not for like the diabetes aspect of it, but because... it helps with weight loss, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, what do you think about that?
See,
taking medicines for a reason that they weren't made for.
Yeah, well, I don't know so much about that, but all I can say is that I did look up, and it's been in the news a lot, that Ozempic has been, you know, confirmed by the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration.
Has it?
That it's safe to use.
Right.
But no, in no part of my mind, maybe it's me being paranoid, but no part of my mind thinks that losing weight like that can be safe. Like, I don't understand. It hasn't been out that long. I don't think it's been in drug trials nearly long enough. So, you know, the people, for example, when the coronavirus came out, yes, and people were like, you know, oh, we can't get the vaccine because, like, it hasn't been tested long enough and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, the vaccine trials and all that stuff.
Right.
I, to some degree, agree with that.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah, dude, do you remember, like, when the vaccines first came out, you were like, dude, they're, like, nanobodies. Like, they're going to track
us. I did not say that. What?
They're going to track us, bro.
Like, I was on my phone. I was on my phone. In Korea, they had this thing where, if someone doesn't show up to their vaccination appointment, it gets canceled, and then a spot opens up, and everybody was trying to get it back then. So I was looking at that thing religiously, trying to get a spot. But anyway.
No, bro, you're like, there are, like, nanobodies in it, bro.
I never, ever, ever did that, all right? All I'm saying is I feel like, certain things should be tested more for like long-term effects to see what it is. And right. I don't know how much testing they did on this, but I mean, Lord, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I mean, have you seen Sharon Osbourne? She looks like the Crypt Keeper now because she's so skinny.
I mean, but like the COVID vaccine, like I think the reason why everyone took it so willingly was because it was a pandemic, right? People were dying left and right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there was no option for us except, you know, take it or, you know, like you face the repercussions or the consequences, right? Because we didn't know what the repercussions and consequences were when COVID first came out.
Listen, I had to go back to the States, and I wasn't about to sit here until God knows when for this whole thing to blow over. So I was like, you know what? Give me the jab! And then...
But like Ozempic, though, like taking a diabetes medication to lose weight, I feel like it's like, for me, I just wouldn't do that personally because there are other ways to lose weight, right?
Listen.
Like for COVID, there wasn't any other option except the vaccine.
Right.
Losing weight, get your ass on a treadmill. You know what I mean? Like go take some steps outside, run a mile or something. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
Diet.
Yeah. You know, so I think, but thing is, they say that how much is Ozempic? Was you say a month? It was like $800 or something?
Eight something, I read it, like for a month supply of it.
Oh, my God. But the thing is, you don't have to keep taking it, though, I don't think. Once you lose the weight, I mean, isn't it kind of like you get off of it? I mean, I know because some people like wean themselves off of it, like celebrities, because they no longer need it. Like you only got so much, you know, weight you can lose.
I was reading something like it like restricts like sugar levels or something like that. I don't know like the details, but still, I mean, like, wouldn't you just rather just lose the weight naturally than have to rely on meds like
that? I think.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just me personally.
Listen, Kris Jenner's only got so many hours in the day. You know, she can't be on no treadmill. Although I think she is, because I've seen some episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where she does go on the treadmill, but and works out. But anyway, all I'm saying is like, what happened to old school? Like, just, you know, get on the treadmill, go for a walk. I make 10,000 steps a day. I haven't recently, but because I got a car and walking, please, poor people. But I'm kidding. But I mean, really, get in the gym. Like, you know, everything's so easy to do now.
Yeah, maybe we're just old school. Like, maybe we're just old-minded in that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, the world has advanced so much that you can just take a medicine without having to work out. Like, who knows? But
yeah, I mean,
just personally wouldn't do that.
I think people just need to stop being so lazy and stop worrying about drugs.
Yeah.
And doing the drugs.
But, like, you know what they say, you know, like money buys comfort. So, I mean... Each his own, but I personally wouldn't do that. If I ever got overweight, I'd probably just go to the gym and run or something. You know what I mean?
Would you really, though? We'll speak on it again. Have you gone to the gym yet?
I've not gone to the gym yet, no.
That's what
I thought. But I'm also not overweight, so.
yeah. Don't rely on drugs.
Right.
To, you know, lose weight or anything else. And on that topic, I went back to the States. I went back to the States recently, and let me tell you. Do you remember, like, was it December for Christmas? I went back to the States, right?
Right.
And let me tell you, I was shooketh at the state, the absolute state of the state of Arizona. I could not believe what I saw with my own two eyes. So, a little bit of background knowledge here. This is a story. I flew into Phoenix, Arizona,
right,
to go to my grandparents' house, which is like a couple hours away from Phoenix.
Oh, okay, okay. I know what you're talking about. Okay,
and
I remember, yeah,
my dad. So I called my dad in advance. I was like, well, I land really late at night. It's going to be too late to drive all the way down to where my grandparents live. So my dad got me a hotel. Hotel. I say that in quotations. Hotel, in Phoenix by the airport.
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Not even Holiday Inn. It's a Roach Motel, but what do you call it? So I took the shuttle bus to this motel near the airport.
Right.
I could not believe what I was seeing. I was thoroughly scared of what I was seeing.
What did you see?
Okay, so going in the shuttle bus to this hotel, which had enormous gate and all these like bars and stuff on the windows and stuff. It was really intense. Driving there, I saw the following, all right? Make a checklist.
Okay.
I saw drug dealers.
Okay.
I saw prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
I saw those same homeless people making a fire in a barrel next to the road. And I saw like all kinds. I saw burnt out car. It was insane. I couldn't believe
Jesus.
It. And I got to the hotel and I was expecting, maybe it was like a Motel 8 or, a Holiday Inn or something like that.
You're right.
And you ever seen Breaking Bad?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that one motel that they were like shooting up drugs in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it looked like. And I was like,
Jesus.
I called my dad. I was like, Dad, what hotel is this? And I was like, I'm scared. I go in there. I lock the deadbolt. I do everything. I didn't leave until the sun came up. And I was starving. I was about to eat the napkin soaked in water. I was so hungry.
Oh my
But anyway,
God.
Yeah. So the next day we're driving around going to go eat some burritos in by the airport waiting for my brother.
Right.
That fentanyl thing that's going on over there
Ooh,
is out of control.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable.
That is an issue that, people actually care about.
My
Jesus
God.
Christ.
Like, seriously, I just driving down the street, saw like people smoking in the street. They looked like zombies. There was like some of them just staring at the wall for the whole time I was eating a burrito.
Jesus.
Like, which was like a good half hour. They were just staring at the fence, like at a big tall wooden fence, like just out of the like, conked out.
Like
it was
looking
insane.
Looking like The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I asked my dad, I was like, well, there's all these people actively doing a very, very dangerous drug, in broad daylight, right? And no one's doing anything. So I'm like, well, why are the police not at least going to try and say something to them? You know what I mean? They're all over the place.
Right.
And, well, apparently the police have been defunded, so.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole thing about the police being defunded because, I understand there was
all
like,
over the states or
during certain states, it's because of like, there was like, big hubbubs about, police brutality and there was a lot of unfortunate things that happened, So the police, they just don't have enough people to handle the drug problem and they don't have room in prisons anymore. So it's just caused like a huge problem. I don't know. I went there and I couldn't believe how far, I don't know about other cities, but how far the city of Phoenix has fallen.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fentanyl, like, what do I call, like, an epidemic? I don't even call it an epidemic. Like, the fentanyl issue, mm-hmm. I guess. It's, like, all over the states apparently right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was in New York back in, when did I go? September, October, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, me just walking around the streets, maybe because it's just New York, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there were, like, a lot of, like, people, like, there were drug dealers on the streets. There were people drugged up, you could tell. But I don't know if they were necessarily on fentanyl, but I think the drug issue in America is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been an issue, but, like, it's gotten even bigger now
mm-hmm.
With the rise of fentanyl. I told you, right? When I got surgery for my wrist, I got out of surgery. I woke up from the anesthesia.
Oh, yeah.
And, so they gave me, like, an IV, and then I had a drip, right, with, like, pain meds mm-hmm. or whatever. And they're like, if you press it, it'll give you a drop every 15 minutes. If you're in too much pain, press it. And I was like, out of it because I just woke up from anesthesia, right? So I was like, well, what is this? And they're like, it's fentanyl. And I was like, what?
Well,
I got so scared. I was like,
I think fentanyl is like a useful drug if you use it for what it's supposed to be used for.
Yeah, but
in the right amounts.
I wasn't thinking that. Just me, dazed up. I was just like,
mm-hmm.
Is this okay? And they're like, oh, yeah, like, it's fine. Like, we're hospital. Like, you'll be fine. But yeah, I remember they just gave me a scare. It was funny. But
oh my god,
fentanyl. I don't think there's. It's like the crack epidemic of like the what was it the 80s? Yeah. Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do about it right now?
See, that's the thing is, I think America has severely failed its people in terms of drug education and drug prevention.
Yep.
Because when we were little,
Dare.
Well, I forget what it stands for, but there was the DARE program.
Yeah, what about
the, I'll it was at, yeah. don't anyway, look that up. But yeah, there used to be this thing called the DARE program, and starting in elementary school, we used to have like these assemblies for anti-drug, you know, education, whatever. But from what I know, DARE no longer exists.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from what I know, I think I read that somewhere, I'm not sure.
Ew.
But I mean, clearly, even if it does exist, it ain't working because all these people are going nuts with drugs. I don't know.
Drug abuse resistance education.
There you go. That's what we need. And basically, you know, I was talking to my dad. I was like, what can we do, you know, in America to kind of fix the drug problem? He's like, it's going to be generations because it's fallen so much and the education is so non-existent.
Right.
That, you know, and it's so easy to get too, especially now.
Yeah.
So.
Like people think like it's fun to use it like recreationally. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's like a huge, like not even just like fentanyl, like huge like Adderall issue in America now. Like
prescription drugs is a problem
Like
too.
Marijuana is being legalized left and right. You know, like people are always like coked up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like. I mean, what it's a huge issue, and I also like I agree with you to some degree that it is like an educational issue, like where it's people are just aren't educated about it enough, but also it's addictive. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, that's I think if you are an addict, which a lot of fentanyl people that do fentanyl are, you need help. I don't think necessarily locking you up is the right answer.
Right.
I think there's a lot of education that needs to go in there and help, assistance.
Where they go to rehab.
Or yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm sure these people don't want to die.
Right.
Like, they want to live a life. Right. But, you know, once you get tangled up in there and all that stuff. So, rehab, I don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely think.
Open up more rehab institutes in America or something.
Try to take me home to rehab, but they say no, no, no. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I mean, I don't want to dump on the drug problem in America too much, but
I mean, America's famous for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, it's glorified in media.
It is glorified in media.
Don't glorify that, man.
Yeah,
everybody be dying over there.
Not good. Yeah. Anyways, we got to get on to
our viral issues
for today.
You're
so
love this.
Today, Joel has prepared viral issues again.
Yeah, take us away.
Here we go.
Shut up. Okay, and like last week, I come with the sauce.
Yes.
All right. So I got these two. Here we go. I got these. Shut up. I got these two videos, right? I try to find some shit that you'll love. All right. So watch this. This was kind of long, so bear with me a little bit.
All right. Let's see it. All right. Here we go. Turn it over so I can see it.
Yeah. Hey, mama. Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to eat right now, mama. Mm-hmm.
That food look good.
Yeah, we got a little restaurant. Yeah, the girl I was telling you about from Instagram that I met. This Nia. Say, what's up, Nia?
Hi.
Yeah, this is the kids, right? Y'all say hi, kids.
Hi.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is LaKayla. She's 5. That's Timmy. He's 7. And this Sheree, she's 17. Uh-huh. Right. So what you going to be doing later, mama? All right. Well, let me just give you a call back later then. Mm-hmm. How the food is, kids?
It's good.
It's good? Look like your food good. You eating a whole lot over there. What's up, mama? What about you? How you feeling?
Everything is good.
Y'all think y'all gonna get something to eat to go?
Are you laughing?
No. Come on now, you.
I'm just waiting for the punchline.
Let's just make sure they eat enough food. They good.
I don't know. I may get a to-go box for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get enough. Y'all make sure y'all fill it. Y'all plate up, all right? Yeah, so when you get you one, make sure you get me in one too, so you feel me? I got it. I'm going to handle it.
All right.
Let me run to the car real quick. Let me go grab my wallet. I'll all be right back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know what you should do.
Y'all know we ain't doing that. Straight up out of here. Y'all know we ain't doing that. Uh-uh, baby. I'm sorry. You can't get me.
It's not over.
Nah, because we ain't doing that. Not this year. Nah, man. Don't even play me like that. Ain't even no broke ass feel me, but 3 kids? Hell no. Yo, just 17. Should be paying for me. This is my first date. How you expect me to just pay for 3 kids like that, man? Hell no. Nah. Come on, man. I'm out of here. I don't even play like that, man.
Oh, my God. You, baby. I love videos come like on, this.
Man. Ain't no bro, but this, I'm just saying, ladies, y'all gotta at least give a the opportunity to, like, let me say, yeah, don't just do the just expecting me to just, you feel me? I don't rock out like that. Baby, ain't no duck ass, man. I'm out of here. Don't play that. Pay for your own food or you're going to be washing dishes. Hell, you talk.
See,
I knew
you would love that video.
Oh my God.
So did you get what happened?
Yeah, so like he met a girl on Instagram. They went on a first date and she ended up bringing her three kids with her.
Yeah, he had no idea.
And she's expecting him to pay for her whole family.
Uh-huh. What would you have done?
Shit, honestly.
I'm gonna be politically incorrect. I would have done the same thing, although I probably would have left out the to-go boxes. I'd be like, you know, I would have tried, you know, at least you could. How many dishes you got to wash for that much food, honestly?
Oh, that's so funny. You was like, you guys want some to-go? Like, order more.
You know what, though?
Oh, that's her bad, though.
Yeah, you got to be transparent about that.
Come on.
Like, honestly, I understand. People get divorced. That stuff happens. You know, you get it. But you got to be honest. You can't just drop it on someone and then hope that they do that. I mean, I've read stories on, like, Reddit that there was like, a poll. It was like, ladies, have you ever gone out on a date just because you wanted food? With no intention of going any farther than that. I've seen these polls on Reddit, and there's a surprising amount of them, actually.
That's messed up.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but this.
Y'all want to talk about equality?
Yeah. Jesus. She's so in the wrong. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
of course.
Then one daughter's 17 years old.
He was like, she's 17. She should be paying for my meal.
I would have walked straight out, too. Well, honestly.
Oh, that's so funny.
I wouldn't even have let it come this far. If I walked in a restaurant on a date and suddenly there's like all these kids I had no idea about, right. I wouldn't even have ate. I would have just left.
You know why? Because he's being petty. Like it is, like, honestly, like, to all the stepmothers and fathers out there, like, you guys are heroes. Good for you guys. But for me personally, I probably couldn't do that.
Oh, no.
I don't think I'd be able to ever raise a kid that wasn't my own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if I was meeting a girl and she's like, oh, yeah, I have three kids, like, one's 17, one's 10, and one's however, I'd be like, peace.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good meal. Bye.
Yeah, I don't. I think maybe she was just looking for a meal.
Honestly, that's what it seems like to me.
She was like, I don't know about that. I don't know about any to-go boxes, but I might get one. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe she was hungry. I don't know.
I was like, where's this video going? He was like, I'll be right back. Let me get the bill. And I was like, I knew exactly where this was going. Oh, I love it.
I love that.
It's so funny. Jesus.
Yeah, I knew you would. I know Aaron's taste in
just
comedy.
Just my sense of humor. Like.
And you know where I got this video from, actually?
Where's it?
From a very unlikely source. So on Facebook, do you know who Trick Daddy is?
Yeah.
The rapper?
Yeah.
His Facebook page is so funny. He posts videos like this all the time.
Oh, my God.
And they're hilarious. He's definitely one of my sources for this.
Oh, God. Speaking of comedians, too, you know who's funny, too?
Who?
50 Cent.
Why? Where's he coming from?
Oh, yeah, because you're saying Trick Daddy uploads, like, funny videos, right? Oh, so does 50 Cent.
But 50 Cent just trolls people.
It's so funny, dude. Nah, anyways.
I don't know.
This is a good video.
Look up Power on Stars. That's his show. You know, shout out to you, 50 Cent. All right. Yes, that was the first one. I know you like it. Basically, so be transparent, ladies and gentlemen, about your situation.
Familial situations. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's one.
Someone new.
Here's one that's just going to make you mad, possibly.
Let's see. Okay. Oh, man, that was gold. Mm-hmm. All right. She's 17. She paid for me.
All right, watch this. This is insane.
Oh, man, that was so funny.
Buying two airplane seats don't fix my problem. Airplanes are too small for big people. It's 2024. Bodies are changing. So planes took two. I won't lose my to fit on a plane. So give me another solution or just make the seats bigger.
Okay, what do you think?
Number one, she's not natural for sure. What?
Listen. Not that anyone's looking, but that ass ain't real.
Yeah,
that
no
ain't a real
way.
Ass. Mm-mm. That's BBL huge. All day.
BBL.
BBL.
What does BBL say?
Brazilian butt lift.
Oh, Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah, Brazilian butt lift. Yeah, no.
Okay, what did she say? Make the seats bigger because we're changing. Is that
bodies
what she
said? Are changing in 2024, and so should airplanes. Meanwhile, this broad guy.
Then make your own airplane.
Yeah, why don't you?
What are you talking about?
She'd probably bounce there if she jumped off of like a.
Or get a private plane. You know what I mean?
I mean,
I've always felt this about planes. If you're a person that's bigger and you're taking up two seats, you should be paying for two seats.
Exactly.
You pay for the space that you're using.
Yeah, it's an economic. It's like, you know, it's financial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You, listen, everyone wants to be inclusive and everything, and everyone deserves respect. However, in this case, her ass is big enough to fit in two seats. She wouldn't fit in one.
Oh, yeah, no way. Not.
And clearly she's doing this for Instagram.
Right.
Or TikTok or whatever this, wherever this came
the
from.
The fact that she even made this video is like annoying.
Yeah, and she's all smiling. She's like, yeah, like, you know, all higher than now.
But the thing is,
piss off.
Everyone's paying for the same service for the same amount of room. Mm-hmm. Why should you get two seats just because you're a little bigger? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For free.
Yeah.
If you pay for the two seats, I guess whatever, dude.
Yeah, like, you should be able to sit comfortably in two seats if you pay for two.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You should be paying for the amount of space that you're using, yeah, like everyone else.
There was another, I think, Instagram or TikToker that was like a travel vlogger or something, mm-hmm, that like made this big thing about how oh, like, we all need to be respectful and inclusive and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Airplanes are. But from a strictly financial point of view, you know, you got to understand. The airline's got to make money too. Where they're just going to throw away money to be inclusive? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's people are just entitled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of that video we watched last week, that influencer. The restaurant influencer wanting free food.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people are just, mm-hmm, so entitled nowadays.
I mean, look at her. Who wears a tracksuit like that with their hair done and all that when they go flying?
It's so annoying.
I look like ass when I fly. Like, I just wear sweats.
Yeah, I have glasses. I haven't shaved. Yeah, Aaron, like, it's pretty bad.
Aaron looks like he's on the cusp of poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, I also want to say this. Can we, like, really just kind of kill the BBL, like, trend? I can't stand this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess some people find it like sexy or whatever. For me personally, I'm just like, ugh.
If you're like, honestly, if you want like a little something to, like, you know, give you a little shape. Okay, that's one thing. But this is ridiculous. You can't even walk through the aisle.
You know what you can do though? You can do squats.
Yeah, they want the jiggly. They want the
ass to the grass. Uh-huh, as they say.
You want that twerking, like, you know, the twerking ass with the thunderclaps and all that.
Jesus,
you know what I mean?
Christ, yeah.
No, listen. I'm so sick of this. Like, I'm sick of seeing. I honestly, well, living in Korea, I don't really see it. But when I'm back to the States, I saw it. I was like, my God.
Oh yeah.
It's like, thought Ozempic was bad.
Yeah, because it's like so, like people, it's all over TV, you know what I mean? Like, it's glorified in the States.
I saw some people in the States. You ever seen that movie, A Bug's Life?
Yeah.
Like, they look like an ant. Like, the butt was, like, super big.
And then, like, the back is, like, yeah, huge.
And, like, the hips are so wide, but you can tell, like, the ass eclipses the hips. So, oh, like, it just looks so unnatural.
That can't be healthy either. I think I would.
Well, no, they have the things, you know, like, so people, they usually fly down, if you don't have the money to get it in the States, they fly down to, like, South America, like Brazil. That's why they call it Brazilian.
Right.
And there's some less than reputable places that do this. And then it'll pop in your ass.
Right.
And then you'll get, like, poisoning from it.
Ooh, God.
Because whatever they put in there, I don't know what they put in there, but people die from Brazilian butt lifts. And I saw this thing, I was like, they're like, oh, well, there's only, like, a 1 in 10 chance that it'll go south. 1 in 10th chance of dying and get, like, blood poisoning? You gotta be kidding me.
That's still, like, way too much of a risk.
Like, they have other ones I've seen, like, where I saw this, was it on Instagram, I think. This lady, like, had a, it's, like, flat on one end, but then, like, the butt part is like this. Okay. So it'll sit against your butt, right? And you can literally, like, flip it around to the flat side on your ass. Inside your ass, just by grabbing the skin and pulling it.
Like, you move the implant?
You can move it.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know where they got that done in. Probably some really
crazy,
shady,
yeah,
dirty place, but yeah, let's kill the Brazilian butt lifting, please. Yes,
BBLs, and also, just, if you're a larger person, don't complain about the size of the plane.
Yeah,
if you're gonna complain about it, do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Listen, buy your own plane.
Tall people can't help that they're tall, right?
Exactly.
And but they still have to do the exact same thing.
Exactly. But the thing is, if you're, like, let's say, If you're someone that's per se overweight, and mm-hmm, you're complaining that because you're taking up two seats, you're like, why do I have to pay for two seats? Well, that's a lifestyle choice that you made. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Unless you, like, have an actual, like, thyroid condition, but even then,
that's still,
like you said,
rare,
like, tall people still have to pay for it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, you got the card that you're dealt in life. If you're tall, listen, I don't like economy seats. I am very uncomfortable being 183 centimeters, very tall. I mean, you're probably very comfortable, but
shut up.
But me, listen, it's a whole ordeal when I fly. But
yeah, okay, whole ordeal.
You know what I mean?
Ass.
Like, you're dealt a card in life. You know, if you want to fly in one seat, hop on that treadmill.
But, honestly, yeah.
You know, go, you know, have a salad, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just saying, like,
it's a lifestyle choice. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
So
a little more fiber.
Planes, you're paying for the amount of space that you're using. So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think you should be paid accordingly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I don't want to be on no flight that has like all kinds of crazy balance issues because of weight. You know what I mean? No, because honestly, like airplanes are very delicate. Have you ever seen, you know, when an airplane takes off, you can see the shell of the airplane, like the fuselage, you know, shake when it's like, you know, moving. It's very fragile. It has to be light to fly. You're not almost flying a hunk of steel through the air. It's aluminum, damn it. I don't know where I'm going with this. But anyway, yeah, that was our viral issues. Next up, what do we got? We got the news.
We got the news.
Stay tuned in.
Yeah.
Okay, and today in the news, we're no longer doing the news voice that I did last time because I was cringing hardcore when I was watching it. Lord have mercy. So, you know, we kind of wanted to find some things that weren't, you know, so serious. Like, I don't want to talk about Kate Middleton having cancer or, you know, whatever's going on in Russia with the Moscow and the bombings, because that's too dark for this show. We want to have fun. Not that this next story is fun, but...
All right, let's listen to it.
A teen is devastated after discovering his best friend of 10 years is a hired actor. You heard this?
No, what?
Oh, man, listen to this. A teenager has been left brokenhearted after claiming his best friend of 10 years was actually an actor hired by his aunt. So basically, this kid, I don't want to say his name, but basically had some problems in school and stuff. And, you know, his aunt kind of like was like, oh, like, I don't know what's going on with him. Like, you know, we have some friends. So she basically made the situation where, you know, he would come onto the playground and, you know,
play with him
and be friends with him. They're in the same class. And then eventually through a series of different things and like a picture surfaced of this kid with his aunt and the kid's, I think, mom.
Right.
And the guy that it happened to, he saw the picture. He was like, how do they know each other? That's so weird. And then eventually it came out that she was paying money to him
to hang out
and be his best friend. Now, keep in mind, this started when he was 5.
So she hired a 5-year-old to be...
Yeah, he was an actor. He's an actor.
Her nephew's best friend.
He's actually
friend.
In acting. He does acting things.
But he's 5!
Yeah, and this started in 2012 and went all the way up until, like, you know, very recently.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, Aaron, you have no way of knowing that I am not being paid to be your friend.
Who would pay right you, now. Though?
Listen.
Shut up!
Listen, I got my people.
That's crazy, though. The aunt
hired... Isn't that pretty messed up?
A 5-year-old? That's like... For me, it's just the age factor. It's like, you hired a 5-year-old to be your nephew's best friend?
Mm-hmm.
A 5-year-old.
Maybe she was worried about him. I mean, clearly she was.
I mean, I'm sure, like, if I was a parent and I had, like, a 5-year-old kid and he was, like, a loner or whatever, like, I try to, like, connect him with other kids, mm-hmm. but, like... I wouldn't hire a 5-year-old actor.
But you know what? At 5 years old, even like there was people I didn't like when I was.
So what did she just like walk up to him and like, hey, so little boy, like I'll pay you $100 a week to like. I don't know.
The aunt and the mom knew each other.
Okay.
So I think there was something going on there because, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're that young though, no one is like caring about popularity and stuff. You're just caring about having a friend. And I don't recall anybody, no matter how annoying they were when I was in first grade, not having a friend. Everybody was kind of friends with each other back then.
Right.
And once you get into middle school and high school, then you get cliquey and you got popular kids and you got jocks and you got nerds and you got the whatever anime people. But like, back then, anime was not cool. Back then, anime was for nerds. Okay. Anyways. I was big into Rurouni Kenshin. But anyway, and Inuyasha.
Hiten Mitsurugi style,
uh-huh,
bro.
Uh-huh. I was really into those two shows.
Hell anyway, yeah, that show's legendary.
yeah. Now it's cool. Everybody likes Dragon Ball. But back then, all the nerds liked Dragon Ball. But anyway, let's come back to the topic here.
Yes.
The poor kid, basically his whole existence is being put into question now.
Because that's his best friend, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the aunt was way out of line. Like, you know, you got to learn through these things. Like, you know, when you... Say, for example, you're getting, you know, you're getting, I don't want to say bullied, but like, say you have someone that doesn't like you and they don't like you or you don't like them back. Like, that's part of being a kid, part of being a teenager, learning how to navigate social settings, right?
Exactly.
Deal with people.
You're developing your social, like, character, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's crazy that she hired. Like, that's crazy to me. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe like he was hired at first, but then they actually did become best friends.
Well, I mean, but from his
perspective. And the side money was just good. From his perspective, he's probably like, what the hell,
my
dude?
Life
like,
is a lie.
I mean, you know, you think about it.
I feel bad for the kid. But
yeah, yeah, he's not taking it very well. So he made this big, long, you know, rant
on
social media about it. But, you know, sometimes I'm like this. I'm like, what if I'm actually kind of a loser and no one's telling me? You know what I mean? Like, what if everyone's just like being my friend out of pity? Like, you ever thought about this? Like an existential crisis?
No.
Like, what if everything is not as it seems? You know?
No, I've
like, what if I'm like actually ugly, but no one's telling me?
I mean, I tell you all the time, dude.
I'm just saying.
I literally tell you all the time.
I don't believe you, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe you.
As your not hired best friend, I tell you every day, bro. You can take it
Mom
how
and Dad,
you want, but...
How much money are you paying Aaron to be my friend? Be honest, because I know you're watching.
Mr. Lane, this month's payment's a little late.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But, you know, it is what it is. Oh, my God. The next one is so funny.
All right, let's listen to it.
I don't want
to
bomb on people, but like, you know what? I'm this is an outlet for all of my rage with today's society. Okay.
Right. Let's listen to it.
All right. So we got a couple of real rocket scientists in our next story. That being said, these are both from the Mirror, by the way. Shout out to their weird ass news stories because they're hilarious. Okay. So I'm in love with a ghost and my girlfriend accepts it. They both hang out together. Okay, listen. I told you these are weird stories. Meet the couple who spend their date nights at cemeteries and have a third individual in their relationship, a 300-year-old ghost. Okay, having date nights at cemeteries should be your first sign. But, okay, after that, a loved-up couple has been inundated, sorry, I'm losing my English, with judgment after opening up about their unconventional relationship online. Rebecca Carmichael is a professional ghost guide. Ooh. But her otherworldly connection suddenly became a lot more personal when she met Rupert, the spirit of a Welshman and a Revolutionary War soldier from the 1700s.
What the hell?
Come on.
I mean,
I ain't done yet. The American woman claims the ghost followed her home. One night stalker. And soon after, they got to know each other and slowly began to spend more time together.
What the hell?
She needs help. Unexpected feelings grew between them and became a couple. But soon after, Rebecca did meet someone new in the living world, a fellow spirit social media educator. Ooh, that's some title. Called Catherine, and the pair fell in love. Anyway, basically, she was in love with this ghost, Rupert. Revolutionary War veteran. But, you know.
And then the guy that she's meeting now, like a real life person. Like,
no, they're both women, first of all.
Oh, they're women?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're both women.
Rupert?
No, Rupert's a man.
Oh.
You're not following the story. Okay, one of them is
Kathy.
A woman.
Okay.
With black lipstick and red highlights in her hair. I think that's the one that is the cemetery date lady.
Okay.
And then the girlfriend is, she, I don't know, looks relatively average to me. But Rupert, I'm sure, has a handlebar mustache and military uniform. But yeah, basically, they go on dates together.
A triple date?
I want to say like a threesome date, but but it's like definitely some kind of weird swinging situation with the otherworldly. I don't know.
Oh my God. I mean, does she have proof of this person's, this ghost's existence?
So that's the cool thing, right? I don't know how common of a name Rupert was in the 1700s.
Right.
But the thing about veterans is there's records.
Right.
Right? It's not like she found this poor guy's gravestone and, like, you know, okay, well, okay. Rupert, whatever. You can look this stuff up. The Continental Army has records of all their soldiers, so you can look it up.
So there is actually records of a soldier named
Rupert. It doesn't say.
Oh, it doesn't say.
I'm sure she just, you know, whatever. Listen, I don't even believe in ghosts. I know that's not popular because he does. And I don't believe in ghosts. So this whole story is just fuck-octa mess to me. It really is. It just is. It's a mess.
A cocktail of shite.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
oh, that's funny.
Like, you ever seen Scary Movie 2?
Yes.
When Tori Spelling's character goes into the mansion and has like a very
intimate scene with the ghost.
Scene with a ghost.
Is that what you imagine?
Yeah, well, kind of, but not really. You guys should only look it up if you're above 18 because it's, I think it's rated R.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, yeah, I don't know what
I mean,
first of all, the ghost followed her home. Shame on you for that, ghost. Yeah,
it could be real. You never know, bro.
Ghosts don't exist. Now, this is my thing. I will not believe. I refuse to believe in ghosts. Until now, my mom yells at me all the time for this because she believes in ghosts. So, I won't believe in a ghost until I see one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I feel a ghost. No, you just got gas. No, you know what I mean? Like, you need to see something. I need to see something to believe it. You know what I mean?
I mean,
the only thing that I can't see that I believe in is myself. Everything else, I gotta see. You know what I mean?
I mean,
you ever seen a ghost? Well, we talked about this.
Yeah, I have. I think I have at least.
That wasn't a ghost.
It was a ghost.
It was a weather balloon.
No, for sure it was a ghost. But yeah, I mean, it depends, I guess, honestly, on whether ghosts exist or not. But honestly, this story to me seems like a lot of horse shit.
First of all, one of them is a social media supernatural educator. It's got social media tied to it. So I'm thinking you put out a story and it gets on the mirror and then you talk about it on the Korean Cowboys. Ooh, exposure for my channel. I'm paying you dust, lady.
I mean, it seems like a little crazy to me, but I mean, who knows? You know what? If you do want to see a ghost, though, you should play with the Ouija board like we talked about when Brian was on the show.
So I agree. If Brian comes back on, we're going to do a Ouija board.
Y'all can film.
No.
Y'all can do it.
It's called the Korean Cowboy. It's not the Korean Cowboy. It's two of us.
Well, Brian could be a cowboy for that day.
No.
Maybe two cowboys playing Ouija board. I'll be behind the scenes.
But you'll still be here. In the studio.
I'll be in the studio, yes. I'll be behind the camera. I'm not touching that board at all.
No, suddenly it goes to air. A-A-R-O-N.
Yeah, my ass. Nope.
D-I-E. I don't know. I don't believe in any of that stuff. That's why I'm not afraid to do a Ouija board.
And then watch, you're going to call me at like 3 a.m. that night. Hey, bro, I think someone followed me.
No. But, you know, Brian, he believes in ghosts, but he does Ouija boards. So where's the beef?
I mean, because I think, like he said, he wants to connect with the spirits. I'm someone that necessarily doesn't want to. I just don't care about it.
If I remember correctly, all you got to do is buy a Tesla because they'll be telling you where all the ghosts are.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
But, yeah, basically.
This story is it's a bunch of horseshit, in my opinion.
Between the 300-year-old ghost and Rebecca and Catherine and their strangely statutory relationship.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's creepy? You find Rupert scary?
Well, I mean, imagine if it was real. I'm saying if it was real, it'd be creepy, but it just seems, like I said, like a bunch of horse shite. So, I mean, they seem stupid.
Listen, honestly, first of all, I would not be friends with someone that goes on dates at cemeteries. That's weird.
Isn't that creepy?
That's very strange. Like, I don't believe in ghosts, but I don't like being in cemeteries either. I really,
especially at night?
Like,
hell no.
It's just to know that there's bodies underneath my feet, like, that freaks me out. Like, I don't like dead things. So, like, let alone a dead human, you know. And even though it's been, you know, they're gone for however long, like, that's weird. That is strange. Having the job of a social media paranormal educator is also a strange thing.
That's a weird job, yeah.
Is it even a job, though?
I mean,
social media is attached.
It's a self-proclaimed job, so.
I mean, do they pay into your 401k and your pension? I don't think so. But, yeah.
Interesting stories.
Yeah. You like the stories today?
Yeah.
Are they better than last time?
I think these are a little more...
down your lane?
Down my lane. Uh-huh. There you go, Mr. Lane. Down my lane.
We'll continue with these weird stories.
Yeah,
in our
next week, I can get it ready if you want next week.
I don't trust you.
All right. I mean, it don't matter to me.
You're going
to
be like, oh, the tortoise is a straw stuck his nose.
What are you talking about?
It's gonna be like
about?
Some lame shit.
Oh, man. Today's episode, we got to wrap it up soon, but...
Yeah, our cameras
that was
dying.
Funny. My favorite part was definitely that video.
I knew it would.
Of the guy ditching the
I family. Absolutely knew it would. Shout out to Trick Daddy because I'm gonna be getting some of my stuff from there. Don't follow him because don't follow Trick Daddy because I don't want you to look at all this stuff.
I'm gonna look at Trick Daddy's videos.
You should see the ones where people are getting evicted and then like, well, I did pay for the rent. It's like, no, you didn't. You just bought a Gucci bag. Like it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh my
god, hilarious,
funny.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So that was today's episode of the Korean Cowboys. Listen, I'm loving this long form thing that we're doing.
Yeah,
I'm into this
long form content with. Mm-hmm. A lot of just shit talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is right up our alley, so.
I love seeing Aaron laugh and smile. Because before, we were always so serious. And, like, it was always so, like, you know, on rails.
We keep saying
on rails, but, like, it was.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it was always, like, we always starts like, welcome back to the Korean Cowboys. Yes, yes, yes. And today, what are we talking about, Aaron? Take it away. And then we start like that. And yeah, and that was it, you know.
Yeah, but we just want to give you guys a glimpse of like what how we converse behind the camera off the scene. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, we're keeping it a little bit on the rails compared to how we would talk off camera. But what I mean? It's still we are being more raw and more honest.
I mean, Aaron didn't even drop a single F-bomb today.
Yeah, you're right.
Aaron's like, Aaron's so color.
I'll do it right now. Anyways.
Little forced. Little forced.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with another fun and exciting episode. I don't know what the topics are going to be. We don't know what the videos are going to be, what the news is going to be.
It's topical.
It's it goes on a daily basis. So
yeah. And if any of our listeners go on dates at the cemetery, you're dead to me. Like, literally, you know.
Yeah, that's creepy. Mm-hmm. That's a little weird.
No more.
Yeah. Anyways, I guess we'll just say bye.
Yeah.
Here.
We're going to do our yeehaw thing.
You can do it again this week.
We should keep it in.
All right.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Because, like, we're not even, like, dressed in cowboy stuff anymore. We're just kind of bullshitting, so.
Well, whatever. I kind of look like a cowboy, do I not? Actually, no, you said I look like
He looks like Ketchum. Ash Ketchum.
My ass.
Oh, Pikachu! Look at him.
You know how he does, like, the thing where he, like, he turns his cap around?
I want to be the very best.
I love that song.
That no one ever was. All right, anyway. Yeah, see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Korean Cowboys. We'll catch you next time.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Yeehaw!
Bye, everyone.
Bye.